Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is longtime Wichita sports and business executive Steve Schad. Welcome to Issues 2021.
Well, good to talk to you, Steve.
Yes, it's been a while since we've chatted. We're going to talk about your battle with mental illness today, because I know you are strongly motivated to share. But first, I think I'd like to have some background to cover this morning, such as, where are you from, Steve?
Well, I grew up in a really tiny community called Lake Forest between Edwardsville, Kansas, and Bonner Springs, Kansas. But for people in our listening area, that would best be described as the last exit on the turnpike outside of Kansas City, Kansas.
So pretty close to Kansas City then.
Yes, very close, very close.
What did you dream you would be when you grew up?
Well, I was actually highly influenced. I became a distance runner fairly early in life, and I was highly influenced by Billy Mills' Come From Behind, Unexpected Victory in the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. He won the 10,000 meters. He was totally unknown going into the race. No one expected him to have the kick he had, and he beat all the world greats in the 10,000 meters, and it was one of the biggest upsets of those Olympics. I watched that on a black and white TV with my cousin Kirk, and immediately after the race, I had some kind of tennis shoes. I certainly didn't have running shoes, but I had some kind of tennis shoes, and we strapped on our shoes. And we ran from my Grams in Oskaloosa, Kansas, 7 miles to his house in McLouth, Kansas. And that was the start of a long love affair with distance running. And, of course, very shortly after that, then Jim Ryan came on the scene. And living in Bonner, that's about 25 miles from Lawrence, I went and saw Jim Ryan run many times, and I was motivated to try to be the best distance runner I could be.
Did you pursue that through high school and college, Steve?
I at one time I held 5 school records at Bonner Springs High, and we won the state track title my senior year in Class 3A, and then I earned a scholarship to Wichita State University. That's what brought me to Wichita.
Ah. Okay.
And I ran in 5 national championships while I was at Wichita State. Highest I ever finished was 4th in an event and in the nation. And as I said, I was just I took my grades very seriously. I took life. I was kind of a party guy. Actually, ruined my track career getting in the fight with a guy. After maybe one or two beers, my senior year, but I really was motivated to become the best distance runner I could. That ended in 1980 when Jimmy Carter boycotted the Moscow Olympics, and I was out of school, and I actually had nothing more to run for, so. I quit my competitive running in 1980.
Did I first see you with the Wichita Wings? Is that where we met?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure it is. A lot of Wichita media, because with the Wings, I was public relations director.
Right.
And so, of course, this is before cell phones or even fax machines. I would take the releases for the Wings and run them off on our copier, get in my car, and I would drive to all the radio and TV stations and physically drop off a release, which sounds antiquated, but that meant that I was talking to Steve McIntosh and John Wright and Mark Allen face-to-face, explaining the release rather than sending out an email that you might not read for a day or two.
Of course, when we talk about the Wings, you're talking about our indoor soccer team that was so popular for so long and had some great, great years. And you also, pick up your career a little bit. You then, at some point, you started with the Wichita Wranglers, which was the Kansas City Royals-affiliated team here in Wichita, AA. Did that come right after the Wings, Steve?
Yeah, I was with the Wings 7 years. The last year I was general manager, and Roy Turner was president. And Roy and I met, and he explained we were going to have to do another Save the Wings drive. And as much as I believed in the Wings and thought they were worthwhile saving, I thought, I just don't know if I've got the energy and enthusiasm to go back to the community one more time to try and save this team. Yeah. And one day a young lady younger than me came into the office, and Larry Davis came back and he said, Steve, Mindy Rich is here to see you. And I had no clue who Mindy Rich was. And I said, Larry, I'm really busy right now. And he goes, no, I think you want to meet her. So I had no idea whether Mindy was Larry's girlfriend or who she was.
Yeah.
If you knew Larry, you'd appreciate that. At any rate, I go up front, and Mindy Rich is the wife of Bob Rich of Rich Products Corporation in Buffalo, New York, one of the nation's largest employers and one of the richest families in America. And they had just decided to buy the National Baseball Congress because they were trying to get a major league team for Buffalo, New York. And Steve, I always tell this story, and maybe you'll know, maybe you won't. Do you know who the five finalists for a major league team were back in 1987?
For a major league team in 87? No, I wouldn't hazard a guess.
All right, well, The five finalists were Miami, now the Marlins, Tampa Bay, now the Rays, Phoenix, now the Diamondbacks, Colorado, now the Rockies, and Buffalo, which still has a Triple-A park, the Bisons.
Okay.
So they were the only team out of the five finalists that didn't get a major league team, but they had been told by Major League Baseball that to get a team, they needed to get invested in minor league ball. So they bought the National Baseball Congress. They bought the old Wichita Arrows, moved into Buffalo and made them the AAA Bisons. They bought Niagara Falls. They bought the Wichita Pilots AA team. In other words, they had their whole farm system set up. They owned all the teams in their farm system, but they didn't get a major league team, not because they were too cold, not because they were too small a market, but because their TV market invaded Montreal, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and New York City.
New York City, yeah.
And Steinbrenner with New York stood up in a major league meeting and said, if you vote these riches into baseball, they're going to invade all our markets, and they're going to wipe us out. At the time, the Yankees were not doing that well. And because Steinbrenner didn't want Buffalo TV in his market, the riches didn't get Major League Baseball.
Now, you stayed with the Wranglers. You were with them for several years, and then I kind of have lost track of you after that. So what have you been doing in recent years, Steve? What's kept you busy?
I was with the Wranglers for 17 years until 2004. I went into business for myself with a little event management company for a couple of years. During that time, I ran the grassroots campaign for the downtown arena vote. I did fundraising for the Fair Fares campaign to bring in, at the time, I believe it was Frontier and AirTran, to bring two low-cost airlines into Wichita. And I did some marketing for Dodge City Raceway and 81 Speedway. All fun projects that I could easily get into. But I didn't have any insurance, and I wasn't drawing any regular pay, so it wasn't working for me financially. So I took a job with a local advertising agency for a couple of years. That worked out okay, but wasn't really meeting my needs. And I discovered that BG Products had a position in international marketing, and I interviewed over there and just fell in love with the company. And so for 14 years, I was an international market manager for BG and traveled mostly South America and Mexico and
wow.
and all over Europe and a couple places in Asia and Africa. Just a wonderful job and a great company.
Wichita's Interest Bank Arena, quite a story there. I mean, that was quite a battle to get that approved. And yet, that's turned out to be a pretty good deal, don't you think?
It has worked out well. I've tracked it. The naysayers at the time, clear back in 2004, 2005, still resent that it got built with taxpayer money, but we promised it would be, I think it was a half-cent sales tax for 3 years. Everyone said that tax will never go away. They'll find something else after 3 years. Nope, the tax went away. The arena was totally paid for before the first brick was laid. The agreement was for them to give money back to the, I think it's the city, not the county. No, it was the county because it was a countywide tax. And to my knowledge, they've always generated money for the county. That's possibly not true this past year. I haven't seen the results for 2020 because they had very few events.
You're listening to, it's a good deal. You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is longtime Wichita sports and business executive Steve Schott. Yeah, that's a pretty good career. That sounds like you found a place where there are at least some benefits to go along with the salary. That sounds good. You know, let's talk about your issue with the bipolar disorder. Is that, Steve, is that what we used to call manic depression or manic depressive?
Yes, it is. In fact, when I was first diagnosed, that's what they called it, was manic depression. Since then, they've done some more studies, and they just break it up into three categories. So there's depression, there's bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. My specific illness is bipolar 1, which is characterized by some extended periods of mania, or what they call hypomania, which is kind of a non-harmful level of high, and depression, and that describes what I've suffered. I have gone, Steve, from being so depressed that I didn't check my mail and didn't do my dishes or do my laundry, to being so high, so manic or hypomanic, that I would get in my car and drive to the casino and gamble for 48 hours. And that's got to, it's painful for me to say that. It's got to be hard for people to hear, because they're thinking, well, this guy's just a nut. He claims he's sick, but he's gambling at the casino, but he can't do his dishes.
Yeah.
This guy isn't sick. He's just weird. It's an odd illness And part of the reason why I decided to come forward with it is I hadn't heard of anybody or known anybody that had either manic depression or bipolar disorder. And so this whole time I kind of suffered silently, thinking that, just as I described, that I'm just a weird guy. My brain's not wired right. There's something wrong with me. And it's true. But the good news, Steve, is that a big part of it is caused by a chemical imbalance in your brain, and properly diagnosed and treated, they can give you medication that can balance out those feelings. And for a little over a year now, well, not quite a year now, then I've been highly productive, pretty good energy, no bouts of depression. As my dad would say, just even keel, not too high, not too low, just running easy.
You know, and you described the symptoms, the periods of manic and the periods of depression. Would they be equal, or would the one be longer than the other, or was there any pattern to that, Steve?
Well, for me, there's been a pattern, and I've read every book in the Wichita Library, every biography on a famous person that I could find, or not so famous person, about that had manic depression, and it varies by individual. But for me, Steve, I was pretty much hypomanic, is what they call, which means I was a controlled level of mania of high. I had high energy, could go without much sleep. Almost the entire career I had with the 7 years with the Wings, almost the entire 17 years I had with the NBC and the Wranglers, then I was a very creative, high energy, no problem type of guy. But for me, it's been triggered primarily by life events. My first wife and I broke up at the end of my 7 years with the Wings, and I fell into a depression for about a year and a half, to where I would work, I would get through work, but then I would go home, crawl into bed, pull the covers over my bed, and sleep until the next morning when it was time to go to work. Virtually would do nothing but make my way through work and go home. What? And I knew something was wrong with me. At the time, they had just diagnosed me with depression, and they were trying talk therapy and did not give me any medications. Then I went through pretty productive 7 years, pretty productive 17 years with the Wranglers and the NBC, and my second wife, who was an absolute joy. I kind of went off the border manic-wise and had some very strange behavior, and she insisted I see a doctor. And then I got some medication, and the medication helped me be even keel, so I was pretty good. But during that time, she and I drifted apart. We eventually got separated and then divorced, and I once again fell into a deep depression. And Steve, this time it lasted 14 years, which is horrible. So for 14 years, I was barely functioning. This was when I was with PG Products primarily, and the ad agency. And so for 14 years, I just kind of faked it along. And actually, when I left BG, I called the president and went to my boss, one of the vice presidents, and met with him and said, "I apologize, but I was faking the whole time I was here. I was just trying to get through the day, and I did some good work, but really, it was, they never saw Steve Schott. They never saw a real productive Steve Schott."
I want to interject here and say, you know, you say you were, I know you're a terrific runner and a terrific athlete. At some point during all of this, were you still pursuing an athletic lifestyle? Were you running every day? Were you trying? Because it seems to me that might help the situation. What do you think?
Well, looking back on my life, I think running was a big help. Running creates dopamine and endorphins, natural emotion lifters. And so while I was running, I can't remember any time while I was running, Steve, that I felt depressed or overly high. But my last race was 1987, and in an indoor soccer game, I re-injured my right knee that I hurt in college, and I couldn't run anymore. And that was pretty much a permanent thing. I eventually had it replaced. But even to this day, I can jog a little, but if my dog ran away from me, I couldn't catch up with my dog.
Doggone it. That's too bad.
So I haven't been able to run since 1987. And anybody listening out there, I do exercise. I hike with my dog until this cold snap, 3 to 5 miles a day.
Yeah.
Anybody listening that has some mental or emotional problems, exercise can just do wonders for your outlook and for those chemicals that your body craves so much to be on even keel.
You obviously you've got a treatment, this sounds to me like it's pretty good treatment. It looks like you're on the right track, but you came forward, and I know there for some people they believe there's a huge stigma with anything that goes with any kind of mental illness, but you've come forward. You've been pretty courageous about that, if I may put that in, and motivated you. What motivated you to come out and talk about this, Steve?
Well, last March, right before the pandemic, I had actually gone about 5 months, Steve, without taking any medication. I had retired. I was trying to live on Social Security. I thought the medications they had me on might be making me sicker. So I stopped taking them for 1 month and I felt better. 2 months, I felt even better. By January and February of 2020, then I was full-blown manic, not hypomanic, which can be creative and productive, but manic, where you're really showing signs of madness. And Steve, I was... I would work all through the night, sometimes till 6 or 7 in the morning, sleep a couple of hours and get back up. But I went through one weekend, week of full blown mania, I wasn't on my medications, and the chemicals in my body had just gone full tilt the wrong direction. And strange things began to happen to me, culminating in a fire in my house. After I took my dog for a walk, I came back and there was a fire in my house. And naturally, I called 911. I tried to put the fire out myself. Well, the police and fire department came and they read some 911 reports that I had made since I moved into this house. And they concluded that something wasn't right about all these reports. Something funny was happening. And without saying much of anything else, they just said, "We want you to get some help." And they eventually took me to the mental unit at Via Christi St. Joe. And I thought for a couple hours or maybe overnight, well, Steve, I stayed there for 18 days, not by my own choice, but because it took that long for the doctors to get me back down to even keel. Yeah. Since then, and in St. Joe, I met a lot of people that had my kind of problem or worse problems. And I determined when I came out that I had a story to tell. And there were a lot of people out there like me that might benefit from hearing that they need to take their doctor's advice. They need to take action. They need to speak out. You can't fake your way through a mental illness as much as I tried.
I appreciate you sharing your story, and maybe we can do some good. And best of luck to you. I think you're on the right track. Thanks so much for talking with us today, and appreciate your story and your time, and good luck to you, Steve. Our guest is longtime Wichita sports and business executive Steve Schott. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.